From NPR Music and WETA, welcome to In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the civil rights movement. I'm Michelle Martin.
All right, everybody put your hands together.
We're pleased to present this special concert commemorating Black History Month, a concert featuring songs that did so much to change the course of our history. Joining together in the East Room of the White House are some of our nation's top entertainers, including Smokey Robinson, Jennifer Hudson, Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, Natalie Cole, John Mellencamp, Yolanda Adams, the Freedom Singers, and the Blind Boys of Alabama. This concert almost didn't happen. Record snows were blanketing the nation's capital. The airports were closing. The concert organizers made a bold decision. They moved the concert up by 24 hours. The First Family juggled schedules. Luckily, most of the musicians were already in town. But some, like Queen Latifah, Seal, and John Legend, couldn't make it. As they say, the show must go on. On the inside, you wouldn't know it was a cold, snowy evening. The East Room of the White House was cozy. Chandeliers gave off a warm glow. Red and blue spotlights flooded the stage. The First Family, lawmakers, and a room full of over 200 invited guests took their seats as President Obama gave his opening remarks.
Welcome to the White House, everybody. And thank you for braving the storm. I'm thrilled to see all of you here today, friends, guests, members of my cabinet, members of Congress, our Vice President, and Dr. Joe Biden, and everyone watching at home, for the fifth in a series of evenings celebrating the music that tells the story of America. Tonight, we celebrate the music of the movement. To help us do that, Michelle and I are thrilled to welcome a tremendous group of artists who influenced that music and artists who were influenced by it. Yolanda Adams, Joan Baez, Natalie Cole, Morgan Freeman, Jennifer Hudson, John Mellencamp, Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan, Smokey Robinson, the Blind Boys of Alabama, and a man who was good enough to take a night off from his never-ending tour, Mr. Bob Dylan. I want to thank some of them for spending some time earlier here today, leading a workshop of high school students, perhaps even inspiring the next generation of civil rights leaders. Now, the civil rights movement was a movement sustained by music. It was lifted by spirituals inspired by the Bible. It was sharpened by protest songs about wrongs that needed righting. It was broadened by folk artists like a New York-born daughter of immigrants and a young storyteller from Minnesota who captured the hardships and hopes of people who were worlds different from them in ways that only song can do. It was a movement with a soundtrack, diverse strains of music that coalesced when the movement was right. But that soundtrack wasn't just inspired by the movement. It gave strength in return, a fact not lost on the movement's leaders. It's been said that when Dr. King and his associates were looking for communities to organize and mobilize, they'd know which were disciplined enough and serious enough when they saw folks singing freedom songs. Dr. King himself once acknowledged that he didn't see the real meaning of the movement until he saw young people singing in the face of hostility. You see, it's easy to sing when you're happy. It's easy to sing when you're among friends. It's easy to sing when times are good. But it is hard to sing when times are rough. It's hard to sing in the face of taunts and fear and the constant threat of violence. It's hard to sing when folks are being beaten, when leaders are being jailed, when churches are being bombed. It's hard to sing in times like that, but times like that are precisely when the power of song is most potent. Above the din of hatred, amidst the deafening silence of inaction, the hymns of the civil rights movement helped carry the cause of a people and advance the ideals of a nation. Bernice Johnson Reagan knew this. One day when she was young, she was sitting in a church when a local sheriff and his deputies showed up to intimidate the congregation. They stood at the door, Bernice wrote, making sure everyone knew they were there. And then, she said, a song began. And the song made sure that the sheriff and his deputies knew that we were there. Joan Baez and Bob Dylan knew this. One day in 1963, they joined hundreds of thousands on the National Mall and sang of a day when the time would come, when the winds would stop, when a ship would come in. They sang of a day when a righteous journey would reach its destination. And Congressman John Lewis, a man of that Moses generation, a man who couldn't be here tonight, but whose sacrifices helped make it possible for me to be here tonight, he knew this too. For in the darkest hour, he said, the songs fed our spirits and gave us hope. So to everyone here or watching at home, let us enjoy the music we hear tonight. Let the music feed our spirits, give us hope, and carry us forward as one people and as one nation. Enjoy.
We're listening to a special concert from the White House celebrating songs of the Civil Rights Movement. Approaching the stage now is our MC, award-winning actor Morgan Freeman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. They say that Sam Cooke wrote the first part of this song after hearing Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, and the last part after being turned away from a whites-only hotel while on tour in the South. Now, Sam would not live long enough to see the impact the song would have on future generations or feel its resonance a year or so ago when, on election night, our newly elected president would say, "It's been a long time coming, but tonight, change has come to America." Singing of change is going to come. Please welcome Yolanda Adams.
It's
From the East Room at the White House, gospel singer Yolanda Adams singing A Change Is Gonna Come, the 1964 hit by Sam Cooke. Making their way to the stage now is Smokey Robinson, one of the organizers of this special White House concert. With him is Jennifer Hudson. They're about to sing a song inspired by the 1963 March on Washington, Curtis Mayfield's People Get Ready.
People get ready. There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.
Smokey Robinson and Jennifer Hudson smiling at the first family seated in the front row of the East Room at the White House. Smokey Robinson and Jennifer Hudson will be back later in the program. Taking the stage now is singer Natalie Cole.
The following are the words of Diane Nash, a civil rights activist who in the early 1960s was instrumental in organizing the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. She says, "Our goal was not to gain power. It was to heal the torn up community around us, to rehabilitate our community. Nonviolence was a way to fight and to heal at the same time. You can't kill somebody to make a beautiful community. The way we fought was not by hitting and hating the person who oppressed you, but by withdrawing your support from the system. In order to be oppressed, you had to cooperate with the oppressor. If you stopped cooperating, the system couldn't work. Nonviolence took as much courage as hitting someone with a pipe, but the results were much bigger." Ladies and gentlemen, John Mellencamp.
Thank you very much. In 1966, I was 14 years old, and how many of you people got kids? All right, would you let your 14-year-old kid get in a car with a bunch of 21-year-old guys and go to a bar and play when they were 14 or go to a college and play? I was in a band called the Crepe Soul, and we did songs like, you know, "Pull Strings and I'll Kiss Your Lips, I'm Your Puppet." And it was an interracial band in 1966 in Indiana. I was 14 years old, and the kid I sang with, he taught me how to dance, he taught me how to sing. And people loved him when we were on stage. Yes, when we walked off stage, they say, "You guys take, you know, will you take that young man outside, and you forget he's only a 16-year-old kid. He never said it hurt his feelings, but I knew it hurt his feelings. And it made a big impression on a 14-year-old John Mellencamp. And me and that kid fought many a fights together. And I don't mean verbal fights. I mean fist fights. So it was at that point in my life that I learned about how hate can really affect people.
Your eyes on the prize, hold on. All the silence began to shout, all the doors they popped down. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. Hold on. Chains of hand to hand, keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. Got my hand on the freedom plow, won't let nothing stop me now. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on.
Musical revolution that began in the 60s would forever change popular music. The through line that had begun years earlier with Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and others found its voice in the civil rights movement of the 60s. Marvin Gaye became one of the most eloquent poets and interpreters of the new movement and inspired countless others to action through songs like Mercy, Mercy, Inner City Blues, and the remarkable What's Going On.
Mother, mother, there's of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Oh, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, and only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lights,
brother,
and picket signs,
brother.
Don't punish me,
brother,
with brutality,
brother.
Come on, talk to me,
brother,
so you can see,
brother,
what's going on.
Natalie Cole, singing Marvin Gaye's most famous protest song. You're listening to In Performance at the White House, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. Our next performer has sung about freedom and civil rights from the back of flatbed trucks in Mississippi to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. In the 1960s, she stood shoulder to shoulder with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank you.
Please welcome Joan Baez.
Mr. President, First Lady, your family, you are so much loved.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in you
day, Dr. King realized that nonviolence fight went far beyond the shores of this great country, went far across the sea to war that was being fought by God's children on both sides of that great fight. And he knew that he had to speak out against that, and he was afraid. He was very afraid. So we all raised our voices just a little bit louder, and we said, we are not afraid today. We are not afraid today. We are not afraid. So much.
The audience joining Joan Baez to sing a key anthem of the civil rights movement. We Shall Overcome has a long history. It began as a work song, then folks started singing it in church. In 1945, it was used on the picket lines of the tobacco workers' strike in South Carolina. And in the early 1960s, We Shall Overcome became an inspirational anthem for the entire civil rights struggle. More songs commemorating the civil rights movement are coming up in just a moment. To hear this program again and to see pictures from the concert, go to our website, npr.org/music. To see video of the program, go to pbs.org/inperformance. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear memorable songs performed by Dr. Bernice Johnson Regan and the Freedom Singers, plus Bob Dylan, the Blind Boys of Alabama, and more. I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the Civil Rights Movement from NPR Music. Welcome back to In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the Civil Rights Movement. I'm Michelle Martin. This is the first White House concert of 2010. The President and Mrs. Obama hosted the event to celebrate Black History Month. From the East Room of the White House, here's MC Morgan Freeman with a reading by longtime civil rights advocate, the Reverend Kenneth Lyons.
Growing up in a segregated town, I didn't understand my role until the day my mother took me to the Walgreens drugstore. Everybody was sitting at the lunch counter. So I walked up to the lunch counter and sat down. "You're not supposed to be up there," my mother said. That was my first knowledge that I was living in a segregated society. Not that it brought any kind of hate or jealousy in my heart. It's just something that was beyond my comprehension. There was no drawn-out plan of ending segregation.
There was no blueprint. All of a sudden, the black man said, I'm tired of this. And he couldn't be stopped. No governor, no president, no army could stop it. It was like an unseen hand said, this is it. That's enough. Now, here comes Jennifer Hudson. The music that we sing to praise God is the common bond that unites us no matter our background, our heritage, our race. Music from West African tribal traditions found its way into the white churches of the South. And this song, written by a Swede in the 1850s, has become a staple of African American churches. During the 60s, it was one of those anthemic songs that shared by all. And tonight, the wonderful Yolanda Adams performs it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, you display. then sings my
standing ovation in the East Room of the White House for gospel singer Yolanda Adams. Taking the stage now are the Freedom Singers. This is a very special evening for the group, a reunion of three of the original members, Ruth Harris, Charles Neblett, and Dr. Bernice Johnson Regan. They're also joined by Toshi Regan. In the early 1960s, the Freedom Singers traveled from town to town, singing and spreading stories about grassroots organizing efforts across the South. They also supported and raised money for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Here now is Dr. Bernice Johnson Regan.
In 1962, in my hometown, we were engaged in a very intense struggle against racial segregation. And there were mass jailings. At one point, a federal judge issued an injunction with names on it of the people they thought were the leaders of the movement. Reverend Samuel Wells was in Shiloh Baptist Church that night, and he said, "I'm not going to let no injunction turn me around. Ain't gonna let no." I know this is a show, but you have to actually sing this song. You can never tell when you might need it. Ain't gonna let no.
Ain't gonna let no injunction turn me
folk musician and musicologist Guy Carawan introduced many songs to the civil rights movement. Reflecting on those days, Carawan wrote, "The songs could take on so many meanings. They could be jubilant, or they could be a lament because someone had gotten killed. They could help people gather their determination, or they could be funny and satirical. You could dance to some of the songs, anything to help people get through all this. The music became a part of everything. You couldn't tell who was a singer and who was an organizer because the organizer sang and the singers organized. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Dylan."
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, they better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that its name is. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging, and I'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are at sieges. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Get out of the new one if you can lend a hand, for the times they are a change. Well, the line it is drawn and the curse it is cast, the slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
Bob Dylan's first ever performance at the White House. You're listening to a special concert celebrating songs of the Civil Rights Movement. I'm Michelle Martin. Returning to the stage now is singer, songwriter, and producer Smokey Robinson.
I first heard this song sung by an artist I really greatly admired, Dion DiMucci. The first time I heard it, it brought tears to my eyes. I loved it so much that I recorded it with the Miracles. To this day, I'm reminded of a time of great sadness. And each time I sing it, it brings back the memory of men who we lost. To sing it here tonight on this occasion and in this place is something that I will always remember. Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Are you free? A lot of people, but the good, they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? You tell me where he's gone. Oh, he freed a lot of people, but the good, they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Here, seen my old friend John. Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but the good. Didn't you love the things they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? And we'll be free. Gentlemen, please welcome the fantastic Blind Boys of Alabama.
Everybody put your hands together. At last, hey, I'm free at last. Hey, hey, one day I was walking along. I heard a voice, but I saw no one. The voice I heard sounded so sweet. Thank God, help me. several angels' feet. Listen, he placed one hand upon my head and let me tell you what he said.
First of all, let's give a big round of applause to this extraordinary group of artists. Mr. Morgan Freeman, get up here. Thanks to Morgan Freeman. Perhaps it's fitting that we close this evening celebration with a song that was first sung by a classroom of African-American children 110 years ago to commemorate President Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And tonight we sing it on the eve of his 201st birthday. So let's join together, lift every voice, and sing. Get some singers in the front here.
Our special broadcast, In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the Civil Rights Movement, is a co-production of NPR Music and WETA Washington, D.C., in association with the Grammy Museum, AEG Ehrlich Ventures, and the National Black Programming Consortium. The executive producers for WETA are Dalton DeLon and David S. Thompson. And for AEG Erlich Ventures are Ken Erlich, executive producer of the Grammy Awards, Smokey Robinson, legendary Motown singer, songwriter, and producer, and Robert Santelli, executive director of the Grammy Museum. Thanks also to Kate Kelly and Jim Corbley at WETA. Executive producer for NPR Music is Anya Grundman. Our producer is Saraya Mohammed. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for listening to In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the Civil Rights Movement.
Corporate funding for In Performance at the White House, a celebration of music from the Civil Rights Movement, is provided by Pepsi-Cola. Foundation support is provided by the Annenberg Foundation. Major funding is also provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, PBS, and public television viewers. Support for NPR comes from this and other NPR stations and from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR.